Blog Talk Radio.
Discovered that, as it talked about brokenheartedness, was disappointment. Disappointment. There are what we commonly call disappointments in lives. But if we have our focus on Jesus, then we understand that every disappointment is God's appointment for maturing, for building up ourselves. And so then the disappointment becomes an appointment for the maturing of the saints of God. In both the Old and New Testaments, we are told this scripture: whoever believes in me shall not be disappointed. Shall not be disappointed. And see, looking at all this doesn't say everything is going to be just rosy. But it's about how you handle those things that are less than rosy. And have you also noticed that the testimony of the scriptures is when things go so well, people begin to lose sight of God because they're trusting now our ability or how we are handling things. Distress is another word, distress. And today we call it stress. But what is stress? I heard a child, he couldn't have been 8 or 9 years old, and said, "Oh, I've got so much homework, I'm so stressed." That's not stressed. Distress is what's keeping you from enjoying the rest of God. The Bible says there is a rest for the people of God. And it says that our hearts are humbled and broken when we don't enter into that rest. And in fact, the Bible says we ought to be afraid lest there be a promise of entering into his rest and we miss it. I found this definition. Stress happens when we are engaged in that which God has not asked of us. Stress happens when we get engaged in that which God has not required of us. So distress. And then disease. Now I'm not talking about sickness. See, sickness could fit into all of these, couldn't it? You know, sickness could create disappointment. Say, oh, but we're not taking then the opportunity of God's healing virtues. You know what I'm trying to say here is that all of these things that we consider our problems have become problems because we allowed them to become problems. Well, disease means being robbed of the peace of God. Being robbed of the peace of God. I guess you would write it with a hyphen, D-I-S hyphen, ease. Being robbed of the peace of God. God tells us that the way of life is to let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you've been called in one body and be thankful. Have you discovered it's hard to gripe and whine if you're being thankful? So God is saying this is the answer to the brokenness of heart, is to enjoy the peace of God, to let the peace of God be what rules in our heart. You have a decision to make? Are you nervous about it? Pray about it until the peace of God floods you to do this or to do that. And it might not come overnight. It might not come for days, maybe even weeks or months. But you hold it before God until the peace of God rules and floods. And the word rule, when it says let the peace of God rule, that's a sports term. It means like being the umpire or the referee. You let the peace of God be the referee in your heart. You should do this or you should do that. I don't really feel right. Over here you got the peace. Let the peace of God be the umpire saying, safe. We're out. And then follow that. We don't always agree with the referee's opinion, do we? But it is the referee's opinion. And I was just chuckling because Odie's doing umpiring now, baseball game, junior varsity. And, you know, sometimes they don't like the call, but it is the call. So it is with the peace of God. Let it make the calls for your life. Okay, there's a few others here. Disbelief, all right? Disbelief keeps us from enjoying the promises of God. Now I'm not talking unbelief. Unbelief is something else. Disbelief is like failing to believe what God said. And I think we've all have had that experience. We read some promise of God and say, well, wow, I don't know. I don't know if I can accept that. We ought to accept it because God said it. I don't have to analyze it. I don't even have to understand it. I just need to do as an old song said. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. There's where the safety is, isn't it? Well, we could give a whole long list. Self-centeredness is probably the main problem. Self-centeredness. Being caught up with oneself. Being obsessed with oneself. And that brings about a failure to appropriate all that God has. When Debbie's doing this thing about the sheep and the shepherd, He leads me to the still waters. You still got to stick your nose in the water and lap. You know what I'm trying to say? There's still a response on our part. Sometimes that sheep doesn't want to lay down in the green pasture and water wanders off. That's why you need the rod. Hey, back here, boy. Doesn't God do that to us sometimes? He throws a stick out there. Where'd this come from? And that makes you just sort of take notice. Hey, what am I doing over here? And allow yourself to be brought back. Well, other aspects of brokenness could be greed, could be bitterness, hatred, unholy affections, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a big culprit. Unforgiveness, you know, really lies at the root of a lot of other problems, doesn't it? Unforgiveness brings about bitterness. Bitterness brings about hatred. And who knows where it all ends? With Esau, it says even when he wanted to ask for forgiveness, it was denied him because he'd crossed the line. There are lines in God's kingdom. Well, Jesus said, I was sent and I am here to deal with those things that have our life out of order. And I'm convinced we've all tried to fix these things. I don't want to see hands, but you know, if you were to raise your hand, and if I say, how many of you ever bought a self-help book? We probably all have bought self-help books. How to have a more successful prayer life, how to be more victorious in your witnessing, how to do a ton of stuff. And I think if I asked then again, we'd all have to raise our hand and say, it didn't really work. Because only Jesus works. Only Jesus. So I read this. A broken heart is the result of our embracing anything and everything in the world. For all that is in the world is in opposition to God. All that is in the world is in opposition to God. Isn't this why John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? Because the world is passing away, and so are those who put their confidence and their trust in that. So the real cure for brokenheartedness is to listen to Jesus and come to him. Run to him. You have a problem, run to Jesus. Things aren't going so good, run to Jesus. His arms are always outstretched, ready, willing, waiting to take us into his embrace. And I know that some of the harder things that we've been encountered is when you're in the Lord's embrace and it's like you can almost feel his heartbeat against you. That nearness. And then it's like, it's okay. Even if the problem still exists, it's okay. We're all right. But it means coming to Jesus. It means resisting the urge to kind of take charge of yourself. I think this is what Francis of Assisi had in mind when he prayed, then it was written, and now people have got it. It's on songs, it's on pictures, it's on mottos, it's everywhere. You know the prayer of Francis, Lord, make me the instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. And then the second half is, I think, where it really fits us in coming to Jesus. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.